Merry Christmas, Bob Cratchit.
And the same to you, Mr. Fred.
Merry Christmas, Uncle.
I said, Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Surely you don't mean that.
I do. What's Christmas but a time for buying things for which you have no need, no money? Time for finding yourself a year older, not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Come now, Uncle.
Nephew, you keep Christmas in your way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it.
Let me leave it alone, then. Much good it may do you. Much good it has done you.
There are a great many things from which I might have derived good, from which I have not profited, I dare say. Christmas among the rest. But I've always thought of Christmas time when it comes round as a good time, a kindly, forgiving, charitable time. A time when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely to their fellow creatures. And so Uncle Lurt has never put a scrap of gold or silver into my pocket. I do believe that it has done me good. And I say, God bless it.
Not a sound from you. And you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
Well, good morning and Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. Thank you. I was waiting for some bah humbugs, but no. Merry Christmas. I'm Pastor Eric, campus pastor here at Bridge City Church, Murraysville. So excited. We are in a series titled Christmas at the Movies. We're taking each week looking at a different Christmas movie, and I want to see a show of hands. How many of you know what movie that is? Okay, a little more than last week. That's good. It's A Christmas Carol, but Christmas Carol has been done many, many different versions, different ways. The Muppet one is many people's favorite. There's cartoon ones, but really it's a book that was written by Charles Dickens back in 1843, and it sold out within a few weeks when they first published it. Such a common book around the world, not just here in the United States, but the movie, that one right there, is 1984, George C. Scott. We're going to be looking at and talking about the plot and the theme of the movie, specifically with Ebenezer Scrooge, who's the main character there, who's just a bah humbug kind of guy, right? He's just miserable, he's mean, he's just, you would not want to be around him for very long, right? Unless you're like his nephew Fred there, who's trying to witness to him. He's trying to help him see differently in life. But we're going to be looking at part of the Christmas story, maybe a different part that you may hear about, but may not know where it is in the Bible. We want to draw your attention to that. But to give just a better understanding of the movie, in case you haven't seen it in a while, you know, it's been several years actually since I saw it, so I watched it recently to prepare, and it's good when I can watch movies to prepare for message prep, right? And it's like, it's too easy. But watching the movie, it just brought back such good memories of the movie, so many good points. This whole theme, it really is about a man's life who's transformed for good. It's really the gospel, that we can have our lives transformed from who we were to who we can be in Christ. And, you know, it's more about Christmas and the Christmas spirits, but Ebenezer Scrooge, the main character, he's visited, and it's Christmas Eve, he's miserable. This is the scene we just saw. It's Christmas Eve, he's miserable, he goes home, and he's tired of all the Merry Christmas, all the carolers singing, and everyone being happy. He's just like, it's miserable, it's money. It costs me money. Christmas costs money, so he hates it. But that night, he's visited by his old business partner who died. He appears to him, and Jacob Marley, he's covered in chains and weights, and he's doomed to spend the rest of his eternity walking the earth with all this weight on him. And his business partner comes to him, and he's trying to warn him. He says, Ebenezer, you don't get it. Like, this is your future if you don't change your ways. So it's a great warning, and I think it's a good warning for all of us to realize, like, what are we really living for, and what's our life after going to really look like? Are we going to have joy in this life? Or are we going to be carrying around these chains and weights, even in the spiritual realm, maybe not in the natural, but we carry around so much. Ebenezer gets three visitations, three ghosts that appear to him, spirits, as they say in the movie, the ghosts of Christmas past, the ghosts of Christmas present, and the ghosts of Christmas yet to come, or the future. And the first one, just briefly going to give you a big picture of the whole movie. I encourage you to watch it again. I'm not ruining the plot for you. Hopefully you've already seen it, you know it, but even if you haven't, watch it anyway. So the ghosts of Christmas past visits and shows Ebenezer his childhood. Shows him what was. And he's like, yeah, I know this. I've seen this. But he saw some hardship. He was reminded of hardship in his life. He was reminded of his very beloved sister who passed away at much too young. She had her child, the Fred that was in the video there, but she passed away. And it broke his heart. He lost his love, the love of his life, Belle. He chose money and career over her. And, you know, he saw the past and it was revealed, brought to his attention again of his past. Then he's visited by Christmas present, which most people say that's their favorite one. He's the jolly, happy guy. And I just cracked up at the jokes that he was saying and how he was talking to Ebenezer. But he shows Ebenezer what Christmas could be. And some people who are currently celebrating Christmas, like Bob Cratchit, his employee in the video, his family is celebrating Christmas, yet they're poor as could be. And they even thank God for Scrooge, who gives them just a little bit of money. And Scrooge sees this heart of somebody who really should and could be complaining about their circumstances and everything going on. They have a child who's walking with a crutch and is potentially going to die if nothing changes. And yet they're still finding joy in this season. They're still finding gratitude. God, thank you that we have a bite of chicken to eat, or a bite of food to eat at this Christmas meal. He sees his nephew and the Christmas celebration that they're having. By the way, that was the Christmas celebration he denied going to. He rejected, said he didn't want to go. But he sees all these things in positive and warmth and joy. But he's like, I don't want anything of it. I reject it all. Finally, he's visited by the spirit of Christmas to come, the future. It's a dark, scary figure. It's not like the last two, which were more pleasant. And it's kind of creepy when you watch the movie. I was like, maybe not for the youngest children, but the older kids could watch it. But he sees the death of Tiny Tim. That if nothing changes, Tiny Tim doesn't get the care and the love he needs, the financial, you know, medical aid, and he's going to pass away. He sees his own death. And he sees and he hears all these people, you know, in the movie. He's walking around as like as if this was going to happen. This is the future. And the Spirit's showing him all these people who are, they're making fun of this guy who died. They're making fun of like, well, he only lived for his money. Like, where's that gotten him? You know, he doesn't have anybody to mourn him. People are mocking him, laughing about him. And Scrooge, like, you know deep down, he knows it's him, but he doesn't want to accept it yet. It's not until he sees his tombstone with his name on it that it becomes a reality of nobody's missing him. In fact, they're happy he's gone in some ways of what better the world is because this man is gone. And it convicts him to his core, where he goes, he has a change of heart. He went from this mean, evil, selfish man to seeing what his life was going to ultimately end up. Nobody missing him, nobody loving him. And for what? For money's sake? For career? For his business? And he says, I'll do anything to change this. I'll do anything. He says, I'll let the past and the present and the future live within me. I'll honor the Christmas spirit and the spirit of Christmas. And he wakes up and he has a whole life change. And that's going to be the end of the message today. But it's interesting that Charles Dickens chose the name Ebenezer for the main character. Maybe you might not know. The name Ebenezer, it means the Lord has helped us. And actually through history, the Israelites in the Old Testament primarily, they would, whenever God would do something for them, like help them conquer, get to the promised land, cross the Jordan River, that overcome some big obstacle, they would often build an Ebenezer, a monument. They'd stack huge stones on top of each other, and they called them Ebenezers because that was an area that reminded them that this is where the Lord has helped us. This spot right here is where God intervened. God helped us. It wasn't just for them to remember, but it was also to tell all the people who came by that area that God did something miraculous there. And I wonder how many of us have Ebenezers in our life, right? A season of life, a circumstance, a part of your time in your life where God showed up and helped you. The reality is we all have them, but do we remember them? Do we build those monuments in our minds and in our hearts and go, I remember when God helped me. I remember when the Lord showed up. I remember when God answered this prayer when I didn't think there was another way. And God made a way. God parted the river, parted the sea. He made a way. Those are Ebenezers in our life. So it's interesting that this Scrooge, it's like the opposite. The Lord has helped us, but the Scrooge is the mean, selfish old man. And his name, it's such a great combination of where he's going and what to remember his name means. The Lord has helped us. You know, Christmas isn't always a joyful time, right? As we see with Ebenezer, he's you know, we all know of Scrooges. Not none of us are like that, but maybe used to be. I've always loved Christmas. Even before I was a Christian, I loved Christmas, mostly for material reasons and all the food and stuff. And now I love Christmas for so much more. But a lot of people have a really rough Christmas time, right? It's darker, it's colder, it's just being around people you don't really want to be around all the time. And I'll be honest, it's been weighing heavy on me more recently. Not my personal circumstance, but thinking about what other people are going through. You know, yesterday, my wife and I actually got to go to a concert, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, which I highly recommend, by the way. I'm not here to promote that, but it hit me because an uncle of mine recently passed away just a few months ago. I wasn't real close with him, but he would go to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra every year. He loved it. It was one of his favorite things, and just going, it reminded me of him. And not so much that I'm missing him, but I'm realizing his wife, my aunt, and my cousins, this is the first Christmas they're going to celebrate without their dad, without their husband. My dad, when we go to my dad's house for Christmas, it's his first Christmas, his brother's not going to be able to be there. He can't call him. He can't wish him a Merry Christmas. My mom, who lost a child earlier this year, it's her first Christmas without that child, my brother. And I'm realizing, not just for my sake, but so many people, that's their story. That's their Christmas this year. In just a few days, they're going to celebrate without loved ones. They're going to celebrate separated from people that they wish they could be with. And my heart goes to those people and goes to my family. And I go, what if we could see people like that? What if we could see their pain? What if we could see their sadness? What if we could see Scrooges and people who are just hurting and miserable? Maybe not, you know, rejecting it blatantly, but just hurting and sad. And actually bring some light to them, bring some joy to them. A purpose in my heart that I want to bring the light to my dad. I want to bring the light to my mom. I want to be the light to my family who are just, I know they're heavy. They're feeling heavy. They're feeling weighed down by life and sadness. We're not designed and we weren't created to live an awful life. We're created to live a life full of awe and wonder of what God can do, filled with compassion and generosity. Be honest, I wasn't a compassionate person before I met Jesus. I could care less what people were going through, to be honest. I cared about me, myself, and I. But God has changed my life to now I weep for people I don't even know, let alone my own family. And I say it, that should be the result of all of us as we know and come to know a generous and compassionate God, a God who weeps for people who weep. Like Fred in the movie, he sees his uncle as not this mean old man, but a man who just needs love. He needs joy. He needs the light of Jesus shared with him. So many of us, maybe you're not like a Scrooge. Maybe you're not as bad as he is. But the reality is we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Right? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. None of us are perfect. So what does the transformation in our lives look like? We see the transformation in Scrooge from this guy to what he gets to become, what we're going to see later. But I believe we all should be transformed. Not just a one-time decision to follow Jesus or to be saved or be forgiven by him, but I think we can be continually transformed to be more like Jesus. It's a lifelong process. Until we die, we should be being transformed to be more and more like Jesus, more compassion, more generosity, more care and concern of how we see people as God sees them. So with that statement, let's just pray. Let's take a moment to pray and ask God to help our time here. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the story of A Christmas Carol. But God, I thank you that what that story represents is your gospel, God, your good news, that we can be transformed. We can be changed and transformed from the inside out. God, not by behavior modification, not by trying to be a good person, but truly only by your Spirit, by what your Son Jesus did on the cross for us, can we truly be transformed. So God, I pray your word today, your Spirit would transform each and every one of us in this room, myself included. Continue to mold us and make us into more like your Son Jesus. Help break our hearts for what breaks yours. And God, help us see the joy and the light and the life that we can have in this season. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, amen. Well, we're going to look primarily at some text in Isaiah. It's an Old Testament prophet talking about the coming of Jesus. So the Christmas story is pretty much in Luke 1 and 2 and Matthew 1 and 2 in the New Testament. But Isaiah actually speaks about the birth of Christ almost 800 years, about 750 to 800 years before it happened. So think about what we're going to look at in context of it was written about 750 plus years before it came to be. Isaiah 9 verse 2 says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." But I want to read to you a little bit of context. Because you can read one verse, and this is a common verse at Christmas time that's read. But the verse right before it, in verse 1, it's not going to be on the screen, but I want to read it to you. He says, "The time of darkness and despair will not go on forever." He's prophesying. He's speaking forth of what's to come in the future. He says, "The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory." Now, a lot of those names I read, you probably don't understand or know much about, but if you know of Israel, where Jesus was born, there's this land. It's called Naphtali and Zebulun, two lands. There's the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River, and right between that, there's a road from Nazareth to Capernaum. On that road where Jesus grew up in Nazareth, he performed his first miracles in Capernaum, is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Almost 800 years later, what Isaiah the prophet wrote about said, this is the exact spot. It wasn't just ethereal of like, hey, they're going to see this light and you're going to have to guess on what that is. He's like, no, there's going to be a light. There's going to be a glory that walks that very road that the people in darkness are going to see the light. Not just a light in the sky, but the light of Jesus, the light of the world. And then he says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. I love when the Old Testament and the New Testament come together in such a way that there's no way anybody could write this on their own. Like, no, Charles Dickens was a great writer, and I love the language of the movie, but it's nothing compared to God's word and how God has wrote the story of history. So we praise God for our past, and I'll explain this, which is the need for transformation. We all need to be transformed. And for many of us, you know, if you've become a Christian, you become a follower of Jesus, he forgives your past, and you're following him now as Savior and Lord, you've been transformed. But we also need to continually be transformed. And praising God for our past is something that you usually would think of when there's good things. But what if your past was full of bad things, was full of sadness, was full of, you know, life circumstances, you know, grew up with divorced parents and separations and abuse and all the things like I grew up in? And how could you praise God for that? How could you praise God for my own mistakes, my sin, my actions? Well, I praise God for my past because of what God has done, that God has highlighted himself. Like, light shines brightest in the darkest times, in the darkest lives. And I don't know what your past is or what your story is, but we all need to thank God for what he's done in our past, that we're here right now for a reason and a purpose. You're not here by accident. So everything that's led up to you being right here, right now, in this circumstance, in your family, was on purpose. That there's a reason that God is moving you in the direction he is. And even the hard things, maybe especially the hard things, especially the sad things, God can use for good. God can drive you, give you that drive and motivation because you've gone through something bad. Because you're going through a sad time, missing a loved one, you can have compassion for somebody else who's going through something similar. But this transformation happens. It starts with examining ourselves. And King David wrote this in Psalm 139. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." And most of the time when we say, "God, examine me," that's kind of a scary statement to say, I'll be honest. You know, I'm a little hesitant to just quickly jump in and say, "God, search me, examine me, know my heart." But God wants to help us understand what's going on in our hearts and our minds, to examine those anxious thoughts. As Jesus said, and Paul said in Corinthians, he said, "Take your thoughts captive." If you're having anxious thoughts, you're worried and stressed, Christmas is supposed to be joyful, not stressful. And I feel like somebody needs to hear this. If something goes wrong with Christmas dinner, it's okay. If a gift gets destroyed or lost, or it's the wrong color, the wrong size, it's okay. Be released. For whatever that means to you, be released. The reason for Christmas is Jesus. Don't let that stuff, food, gifts, travel, snow, whatever it is, rob you of the joy and the peace that you're supposed to have in this season. Remembering that God wants to point out anything that offends us that leads us to everlasting life. So what are the things in your life that God wants you to see? I believe God wants you to see other people. I believe God wants you to see family members not as an enemy because they voted a different political view or they have different beliefs, but to see those people as God sees them. They're his children too. They're loved ones of his. They can be. Maybe they're not yet, and you could see them as a lost person, and you want to help them, to love them into the kingdom. You never debate them into the kingdom of God. You love them into the kingdom. It's his kindness that draws people to repentance. You're never meant to live in a bah humbug past, but to live in a joy-filled future, in a joy-filled present, praising God for our past. Second thing is perfecting our present. It's understanding that there's a light that transforms. Jesus is the light. Right? Jesus is the light. In Isaiah 9:6, he says, "For to us a child is born, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." See, Christmas isn't just a historical event to remember and to celebrate. It's to remember who he is as well. Right? It's I know you hear this all the time, but it's not about the gifts. It's not about the stuff. It's all about remembering who Jesus is. That's what most of the Christmas carols and the songs that we sing are highlighting, who Jesus is. He is Wonderful Counselor. He is a Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father, the Father who will never stop. And he also is the Prince of Peace. He gives peace. He is peace. Christmas really is an invitation for us to be with God. That word Emmanuel is his name, Jesus' name. He's called Emmanuel because Emmanuel means God with us. It's an invitation to be transformed as we are with Jesus. As we celebrate Christmas, remembering Christmas, we can be transformed with God. When we fail to see the birth of Christ as the greatest gift that God's ever given to humanity, we miss the big picture. And we can miss the transformation of our hearts. Isaiah 9:7 says, "His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity." So we have the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, the ghost of Christmas yet to come or future. The prophecy of the Old Testament talked about what was going to happen in the future. Jesus was going to come. The present reality of Jesus coming to the earth and walking with the people. He brought light to their darkness. Not in the way that they expected either. The Jewish people, they thought Jesus was going to come overthrow Rome. He overthrew sin and grave instead. Something so much greater than the power of an emperor or the power of an army. Jesus came and he brought the light to our darkness. Your present reality right now can have that light in your darkness. Do you see that light in your present reality? Do you see Jesus in your life? I hope that that light would just be turned up a lot brighter today and in this season. But then we look ahead, his government and its peace will never end. Jesus' kingdom never stops. Kingdoms and empires come and go. Leaders rise and fall. But Jesus' kingdom never ends. He will reign for all eternity. For eternity. What if we could view life in the lens of eternity? Our problems wouldn't be that big, would they? That even that sickness or that problem, that challenge, that loss wouldn't be that big of a deal in light of eternity. And it is a big deal, and it is sad, and you should grieve, but in light of eternity, man, it's really not a big deal. This is just one of many Christmases. This is just one day of 365 days in a year, times after your lifetime, and then you multiply that in eternity. What's just another day? I'm going to choose to see things through eternity rather than through the lens of the negative or the problems or the challenges that we face. Remember those Ebenezers in your life. Remember when God has shown up. Ultimately, the story of Christmas is how Jesus came to earth as a baby. He grew up as a man, though, and he did something that was the only way we could remove our old selves and be transformed into a new creation. Right? Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says it this way. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. He's really chastising them a little bit, but he's encouraging them with like, hey, like stop trying to do all this religious stuff. Stop trying to be like the people of the world. Stop fulfilling your sinful desires. He goes, that is not the way you learned Christ. You didn't just add Christ to your worldly life. Like, it should be completely transformed. Assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on your new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. What this is saying is we have a personal transformation to go through. You can stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to just add Jesus to your life. But allow God to completely transform you. That your old self is now dead. It's not just better. You didn't just get painted up and put on makeup and get dressed up. Like, it's dead. Like, old Eric is dead. And now I want to live a new life. He says, take off the old self. And he actually, that wording is like removing an old garment and then destroying it. Don't just put it in the closet. Burn that thing. Burn that old self, that old nature, that old sinful person you used to be, to truly walk as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Take off the old self, put on the new, renewing in the spirit of your minds, that God renews our minds, God renews our hearts. He can transform even the worst of the worst. If he could transform a guy like Ebenezer Scrooge, and I know it's a movie, but it's a lot of people's personal story. It's my story. Of going from horrible, selfish, and sinful to now caring about people, to be generous and compassionate, to take on that likeness of God, to strive to be righteous and holy as Jesus is. See, it's only after Scrooge sees his tombstone that it changes him. And I think, what are we living our lives for, if not for eternity? We're all going to eventually be there. Just speaking the truth. We're all going to have a day we take our last breath. We're buried, we're cremated, whatever it is. There's going to be a day when we're going to have to be put in the ground. And I want you to know, think about, like, what are you going to have to look back on in your life? What if instead of waiting till it's too late, we took today and said, what if? What if God could show us our future? And then say, from this day forward, I want to live so that future is different than what Scrooge's was. Maybe a future of compassion, of generosity, of living to serve other people. You know, the best ways we can honor God is to honor Christmas and to serve other people. to remember what he's come for, to remember what he died for, and to live our lives accordingly. You know, at Christmas, we prepare for all kinds of things, right? How many of you are hosting a dinner? Anybody? Okay, I see those. I need your addresses. I'll be over. No. Well, we prepare, right? Preparing a feast or preparing even a dish to take somewhere. We prepare our homes. You got to clean up a little more when people come over, right? We prepare these things. We got to prepare gifts. We got to prepare. There's all these things we can prepare for. Maybe it's travel. But what if we prepared for people's lives that we can impact in our future, but for eternity? In Matthew 25, verse 40, Jesus said this. He says, "I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Jesus cares about the most vulnerable people in our society. He cares about the least of these. I believe he cares about all people, but when we overlook the least of these, we overlook the people who are hurting, the people who don't have family, who are going to be spending Christmas all alone. That breaks my heart. That breaks the Father's heart. And we can look to ways that how do we not just show up at church or not just give some money, but how do we live our lives looking to help bless people, looking to do it to one of the least of these, to care for those. You know, Tiny Tim was, he represented the most vulnerable people, a child, a crippled child of all things. Bob Cratchit, a poor man who's just trying to get by feeding his family. As followers of Christ, we are called to live out our redemption by serving others. We were redeemed for a purpose. We were saved for a purpose. So we're going to take a look at a clip at the end of the movie. To set this up a little bit, Scrooge, he wakes up. So a few hours have taken place. He went from the scene we just saw on Christmas Eve, miserable, bah humbug. I wish everyone who said Merry Christmas would be boiled in their own pudding. I don't even know exactly what that means, but some of you probably do. But he doesn't think highly of anybody with Christmas. And then just through that night, he has these visitations. God transforms him. He wakes up the next morning. He opens the window. He says, "Hey boy, what day is it?" And he's like, "Christmas," like duh. But he says, and he starts blessing people. He starts tipping people. He starts just loving people. And he's just a joyful, happy guy. He shows up at his nephew's house. And he's like, "I'm so sorry. I was a jerk yesterday." These are my words. It's basically what he's saying. And he just has such a good time hanging out with the family. He stopped being a miserable Scrooge and he started being a nice guy. He started being generous. He started being compassionate. He started sharing the light that changed and transformed him with others. And then we see, as he sees Bob Cratchit the next day.
"9 o'clock, late again, eh, Cratchit?" "See about this." "Mr. Cratchit."
"Here, sir."
"Do you know what time it is?"
"Yes, sir."
"What time is it?"
18 minutes past the hour, sir."
18 and a half minutes past the hour. What do you mean, coming here at this time of day?"
"I'm sorry, sir. I am behind my time."
"Yes, I think you are. Step this way, sir, if you will, please."
"It's only once a year, sir. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday."
"Well, I'll tell you, my friend, I'm not going to stand for this any longer. Therefore, I am going to double your salary.
Double my salary, sir?
Yes, Bob. Yes, Bob. A Merry Christmas to you. I'll double your salary for a start, and I'll endeavor to assist your family in any way I can. And Tim will walk again and grow stronger and stronger upon my life, he will. Well, we'll discuss the particulars this afternoon over a Christmas bowl. What's the matter with you?
Nothing, sir. Well, it's just that... Nothing. Thank you, sir.
My good fellow, make up the fire before we freeze to death. Buy some more coal before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
Yes, sir.
Ebenezer Scrooge was better than his word. He became as good a friend, as good a master, as good a man as the old city knew. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. It was said of Ebenezer Scrooge that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
Amen. We can clap for that one. God bless us, everyone. Amen. Such a great ending to the story. And I love that it's Bob Cratchit's last exposure to Ebenezer was when he was being told he might be fired if he doesn't show up on time and don't burn any coal. But you know what we see in this movie is such a great story of a heart transformed. Right? This man who went from this miserable old man to being a joyful old man. That he truly embraced the spirit of Christmas. And I watch this and can't think of any better verse than Ezekiel 36. He talked about having our hearts of stone. He says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. He's talking about removing that heart of stone that Scrooge had. The man had a cold, hard heart. He wouldn't let anything in. But Ezekiel's talking about removing that heart and putting a heart of flesh, a tender heart, a compassionate heart. A heart that's warm, is gentle, and is kind. He didn't just say, I'm going to help you get a little better. I'm going to help you swear a little less, steal a little less, lie a little less. He says, no, I'm going to change your heart from the inside out. That's what Jesus does. He changes us from the inside out. He transforms us. Again, do we go from dead to now alive in Christ? How many of you know we all need transformed? I want to pray for you. I want you to stand to your feet. And I want to pray a prayer of transformation for you. At whatever level you're at, wherever you are, whatever in you needs to be changed and transformed, I want to pray for you. Maybe you say, I just need to find some joy in this season. Maybe I can be a nicer person because I've been a little grumpy. I've been a bah humbugger. Maybe even just some sadness, depression, anxiety, fears that you've been holding on to that you can just let go right now. Allow God to transform that part of you. Allow God to transform your mind, to release you from being in captivity. Maybe you're here today and you say, I need my heart completely transformed. I don't just need a little transformation or some continual... I need to be completely transformed from the inside out. Maybe that starts with you allowing Jesus to become the forgiver of your past. That means anything you've ever done wrong, any sin, anything you've ever done to hurt somebody else, anything that you know you feel bad about or is not pleasing to God, Jesus died on the cross to forgive you of that. You can truly be forgiven for anything you've ever done or ever said if you accept Jesus as your ultimate forgiver. And then say, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. That means from this day forward, because he's changed your heart, you're going to walk with him from this day forward. So wherever you fit in any of those things or anything I didn't say, but you say, I just want to be transformed. I want to be continually transformed. Or I need my heart completely renewed. I just invite you to lift up your hands. I want to pray for you. If you say any one of those things, I want to be continually transformed. God, help me be a compassionate and gentle and generous person. Whatever it is that you need transformation of right now, I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for the story of Scrooge. God, that he went from this mean, selfish person to being a gentle, generous, compassionate, fun person. God, I pray, God, as what you sent your son to die for is exactly that, to transform us from our old selves to become new creations in Christ Jesus. God, that you say in Christ there is no condemnation, that in Christ we can be truly forgiven of anything and everything we've ever done. So God, I pray for everyone here who's holding on to something from their past, even if it's just sadness they're holding on to, or anger towards a loved one, or anger or unforgiveness towards someone. God, I pray they would release that in Jesus' name. God, you transform their heart, transform their mind. God, to be released of the prison that they've set up around themselves. God, to love their enemies as you've called us to love and pray for our enemies. God, I pray we would love and pray for those family members, those co-workers, those people who hurt us in the past. Father, I pray a breaking off of that now in Jesus' name. God, would they release? If you're here right now and you're holding on to an unforgiveness, you're mad at somebody or something, even if you're mad at God right now, be released. Be released. He wants you to be free. Release that pain, that hurt you experienced as a child. Release that pain and unforgiveness you've experienced from a loved one that hurt you, that did something wrong to you. God knows it. He sees it. He cares. But he wants you to be released from it. He wants you to walk free. He wants you to experience joy and peace this Christmas. To celebrate not just one day a year, but to have every single day moving forward be a day of joy, of peace, of lightheartedness because of what Jesus Christ has done. God, I pray for compassion on every single person in this room. God, compassion on those who don't know you yet. Compassion on those who've wronged us. God, help break our hearts for what breaks yours. God, I pray for generosity to flow. God, we would bless the people who've even done wrong to us. We would bless those people who we don't even know. God, we'd bless the poor. We'd bless the needy. We'd bless those who desperately need you. God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Father, we thank you that you are so gentle, so patient, and so kind. I pray, God, that this would be the best Christmas that we've ever had. In Jesus' name.